Good morning. Good to see everybody here today as we gather together and worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to especially welcome our guests who are here with us this morning and glad that you're spending your time in worship with us today. Well, today is the fourth Sunday in Advent, which means Christmas is right here around the corner. It's going to be on Wednesday, so I hope everybody's prepared. It also means our services will be here on Tuesday evening, Christmas Eve services, 6, 7:30, 9, and 11, and then 9:30 on Christmas Day. So plenty of opportunities there to worship, so you can pick one of those at your choosing. Also, a reminder here this morning that the offering envelopes for next year are in, so they're out here in the hallway, so just go ahead. They're in alphabetical order, so make sure that you take opportunity to pick yours up for the new year. Well, this morning we're going to have a special presentation here by our Sunday school kids, so excited to have that here, their Christmas presentation here this morning, so that will be part of our worship service this morning. Well, as we are here today, we do ask the Lord to be with us and guide our time of worship. Part of our celebration of worship, let us rise and greet one another in the name of the Lord. we continue our worship with invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We pause for reflection. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come and help us by your might. That the sins which weigh us down may be quickly lifted by your grace and mercy. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. This time now, I invite the children forward for the Christmas presentation.
Once upon a time, a long, long time ago, begins the story of a baby that most of you should know. His daddy's name was Joseph, and Mary was his mom. This babe was very special. He was God's only son. Mary rode a camel, and Joseph walked along, while angels watched from afar and celebrated in song.
When they arrived at Bethlehem, the couple was turned away, the keepers of the inn telling them no place to stay. Now Joseph, he insisted that his wife has some place to stay. The keeper told him of a stable with animals and hay. Mary and Joseph's journey ended in a stable filled with hay. It was there that Mary gave birth to our king on this day.
Some angels came from heaven, and they began to sing to the shepherds in the fields below, glad tidings do we bring. The word of the king's arrival soon spread very fast. The angels told the shepherds that a savior was born at last.
A bright star lit the heavens to light the Magi's way to the baby in the manger who was born on Christmas Day.
Thank you. And all who gathered round him rejoiced and praised his birth, for the babe, the king named Jesus, is our Savior here on earth. So as we celebrate Christmas with candy and presents and more, remember we have a Savior giving us life evermore.
Well, well done, boys and girls. Thank you. I think a round of applause here for it. And now the round of applause for their teachers who led them. Thank you. Nothing excites me more than the next generation telling the story about Jesus. So this is fantastic. And I love it. But part of what we like to do here, too, is also handing out first Bibles to our first graders. Okay, our Wednesday morning Bible study, make sure they pick these up. And so this goes to our first grade. And so let's see, our first one here, James Cochran. All right, here we go. All right, Violet Jackson. Not here. Your cousin. Well, we'll hold it for here. We'll give her, who's her teacher? Which one's? Okay. And Brian Princey. There we go. All righty. Also handed out the other day to eight of our first graders in the school, too. So they also got their first Bibles. And so it's an exciting opportunity. They're learning to read, but also, too, makes it easy for them to learn that story all more about how God loves us and sent his son Jesus to this earth to save us all from our sins. So again, very good. Fantastic. One more round of applause for him. Well done. Well done. Thank you so much.
The first lesson is from the seventh chapter of Isaiah. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. And he said, O hear then, O house of David. Is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted. The Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria. This is the word of the Lord. We read responsively the 24th Psalm. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein.
For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers.
Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place?
He who has clean hands and pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false, and does not swear deceitfully.
He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation.
Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in.
Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in.
Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The epistle is from the first chapter of Romans. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all nations, including you who have been called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Thank you. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our gospel reading, Gospel according to St. Matthew, the first chapter. Well, an ad popped in my mail the other day. Got it in the mail there, and it was, in fact, it happens rather regularly. It's from Optum, all right, Optum, the cable company. You know, they're trying to get my business. Now, when I first moved up here, moving down into the parsonage there, well, I had an option. I could either get Optum or I could get Verizon. Well, I ended up going with Verizon because the download speed is a little bit faster. But when I got that package, well, it also meant that, well, I got a gazillion channels too, you know, almost all of which I never, ever watch, much less some of the shows that are on the cable networks there. You know, I hardly ever watch many of those and would never dream of watching some of those, like Maury Povich, all right? Who watches that stuff? Listen to some of the titles. This is this past week. No lies here. This past week. Here's some of the show titles. Stop Lying, That Is Not His Baby. Okay? The Next Day, I'll Prove That You Fathered My Two Twins. The next one, Did You Father My Son's Baby? I mean, it seems that all these shows here are all trying to figure out who the baby daddy is. You know, they do this, and they sit there, and they do all these DNA tests, and then you got people sitting there, you know, saying things like, you know, I never slept with that woman, you know, and on and on, you know, and then people are saying, yes, you did, no, yeah, I never cheated, all that kind of stuff. I mean, who wants to watch that stuff? It's kind of like watching soap operas. Well, sorry, I might have stepped on some toes there, all right. Same kind of thing, though, if you think about it, where are the soap operas get their material from? Well, it's just kind of like life. But there is one source where all the soap operas can get all their original material from, and that's, gosh, all I have to do is look at the first book of the Bible. Maybe they're even the first book of the New Testament. You could even look at our gospel reading for today, and you'd have plenty of material there for Maury Povich. So let's take a look there. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Now, this part of Scripture here immediately follows Jesus' genealogy. When you look there in Matthew, right off the beginning there, what do you find there in Jesus' genealogy? Well, you find prostitutes in there. You find idolaters in there. You find murderers in there. You also find some famous people in there. You got Abraham. You've got David. All of this precedes our reading for today, all good material for Maury's TV show that precede today's episode that we have today in our reading. And what do we have here today? A guy is betrothed to his fiancée, and she is found to be pregnant. Not real news today. I mean, there's plenty of folks there that have been pregnant brides before. But how is this one different? Well, this one, this guy Joseph, he knows that he is not the father. He understands that real clearly here. But why is this one different? Well, he knows that he's not the father because he has not known his wife to be yet. He definitely knows that he's not the dad. He knows that he doesn't need to take a DNA test to prove that either. But we also have some other news here. This woman is with child from the Holy Spirit. What? You don't hear that every day either, do you? More to come on that one. But let's focus on the groom-to-be. What does the word say? And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Her husband Joseph. Now, what does that say about engagements back in the day? When we think about it, husband, here in our time, well, that means that they are already married. You know, when we talk about somebody who's engaged, you know, not officially married yet, we talk about that's their fiancé, correct? That's how we talk. But it's different back then. Because you see, when they make promises back then, well, they're essentially married. Today, not so. But back in the day, that was marriage. Maury Povich, here we go. Her husband Joseph, being a just man. Now that's an interesting contrast, don't you think, to who the real father is here, this baby? Being a just man, he's going to do what? What's he going to do in a situation where a man finds out that, well, his wife-to-be is pregnant, and it's not him? Well, what's he going to do? He's going to divorce her because she's unfaithful. Now, contrast that with a couple today when they find out, well, you know, if they're engaged, what are they going to do? Well, they just break up. They go their separate ways. But back in the day, betrothal, well, that was tantamount to marriage. He has to divorce her. But there's something else there in that sentence. Joseph, being just a man here at this point in time, he still has feelings for her. He doesn't want to put her to shame. He doesn't want to sit there and, you know, make a big deal out of this. He doesn't want to take a DNA test. He doesn't want, you know, to have this put on Maury's show or anything like that. No, he can tell he still has feelings, that he still loves her. He wants to do this quietly. He doesn't want to put her to shame. But yet, nonetheless, what's he going to do? He's going to divorce her. Now, from Joseph's perspective, this is all real-world stuff. We can all identify with this guy who's just a man. But at the same time, this is all rather unworldly, too. We go back to our scripture reading. As he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Joseph, being just a man here, is called what? Joseph, son of David. That's a legal term that got added to his name. It points out very clearly that Joseph here is a descendant, is of the lineage of King David. That's important to know. Because now here we've got God who's speaking to him here through the angel. It's like, hey, go ahead and stay with your wife. Because the baby there, it's from God. It's of the Holy Spirit. I am as involved here. God is involved. Your wife didn't cheat, man. All right, get that in your head. You don't need to divorce her. You see, God has a bigger picture in mind here, son. God, again, is going to include you in it. Think about this. Your wife is going to have a son. Yes, Joseph, you are going to have a son. You're going to call him Jesus. You're going to give him the name Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sins. Now, it's a good thing that Joseph was dreaming. Because if he had that news told to him, what would happen to him? Think about it in these terms. It's like, what do you do when you got big news to tell somebody? It's like, sit down first, right? So here he is in a dream. God drops his bombshell on him. Well, maybe we don't call it a bombshell. All right, got some big news, a big news scoop here. And what is this news scoop? Matthew says it this way. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God is coming in a miraculous way. The virgin shall be with child. The virgin's going to have a son. And God being the father of this child, means that God is the child. Okay? Emmanuel, God with us. God is indeed going to be here with us. God is coming to save his people from their sins. Yeah, sins. Those disobedient acts that we commit against God and against other people. your sins, my sins, sins of the whole world, sins that deserve to be on Maury Povich's show, and sins that are, quite frankly, too boring to be on his show. Doesn't matter. All of those sins are deadly no matter what they are, because those sins are what separate us from God eternally. You see, we see in the sending of a son here that God didn't want to put us to shame eternally. He's putting that shame on his son. And back in the day, what was the worst way that shame could be put upon a person? That's them dying on a cross. That was the most shameful way to die. That's what God did. He took all of our shame, no matter what that sin might be, and put it on Jesus. And by his dying and then rising from the grave alive, therein he gives us hope. You see, Jesus had to be just a man in order to die. But as he rose from the grave alive, well, by his stripes we are healed. God gives us hope. So what happened after this dream? Well, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, and he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Well, Joseph did as God commanded him. Joseph did not go to court. He didn't announce it to all on Maury's show. He didn't bother with a DNA test. He took Mary as his wife and waited until she gave birth to a son before they went off and had a honeymoon. And he called his name Jesus. Now think about that for a moment. Just by the fact that he gave his son that name, Jesus, he's obedient to God. You see, by giving him the name Jesus, that's showing faith in God that what he said is going to happen. That's what Joseph did. So today we can give thanks. Thanks for Joseph, that he was obedient, as was Mary, to the Lord. For in that, she gave birth to a son, and Joseph named him Jesus. For there is no other name given to men by which we might be saved than through Jesus Christ and him alone. Amen. Now may the peace of God surpasses all human understanding. Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us rise now as we confess our common faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. It's found printed for you in your worship bulletins. As we turn to one another across the aisle and confess such faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
As the time of Advent comes to an end, let us go to our Heavenly Father on behalf of the Church around the world and all people in their various needs. Lord, you have set in place the times and the seasons and revealed in them the salvation promised to us in your Son. Give us faith that we may ask for no sign except Jesus Christ, whose birth, death, and resurrection fulfilled all the promises of your word as proclaimed by the prophets who spoke by your command. Lord, in your mercy. For all the children here at our church and school, our communities, and your world, we pray that we may believe as they do, with wide-eyed innocence. Keep them safe and close to you throughout their lives. Lord, in your mercy. You have provided us many and rich resources to support this daily life and to use those gifts in the care of those in need. Especially at this time of year, grant to us a generous heart that we may give generously and cheerfully for the sake of your work, your church, the poor, and those in need. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we place before you our family, friends, and neighbors who are weighted down by illness, strife, or oppression, that they would bring healing, that you would bring healing and peace of body and mind. We especially pray for Judy Duvall, Ray Churick, John Lieber, Danny Foley, Helen O'Brien, Doris Gribben, Rosemary Knapp, Frank Maggio-Capra, Elizabeth Schuler, Ed Cook, as well as those on our prayer line, in the bulletin, and those we now silently name in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy. For our armed forces, police officers, firefighters, EMTs, utility workers, road workers, and all others who keep us safe and cannot be home this Christmas, please bless them and keep them safe. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we know that we do not deserve any of your kindness, yet we rejoice in all your gifts and grace, especially the privilege of this table where we come to receive the very body and blood of your Son, our Lord. Grant that we come to this feast in humble repentance so that we may receive this blessed communion as you want us to. Lord, in your mercy. These and any other things you would have us ask of you, Heavenly Father, grant to us for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
We continue our worship with our offerings at this time, and you may be seated. If you haven't already done so, please sign and pass the fellowship pad. I'll pew with you.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." The same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you, forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen.
Let us now pray that prayer that Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May Christ, true body and true blood, strengthen and preserve you steadfast in the true faith to life everlasting. Go now in his peace. Amen.
We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love towards one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.